Is there hope for a big Stephon Diggs game in week 16? Rashad White, man, what a story. Probably the player I was most wrong about going into this year. And finally, are there any matchups to exploit in 49ers Ravens on Christmas Day? All that and more coming up on week 16, Stat Nerd Thursday. Let's get into it. It's Thursday, December 21st. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Harmon? Man, I thought I put the kiss of death on my guy Purdy when he was laying motionless on the ground as it cut to commercial break, but he did recover from that helmet-to-helmet hit. I thought he was concussed.
Yeah.
But don't worry, I have a tight 12-minute rant on Purdy saved for you later. But in all seriousness, I am excited about the Christmas Day game against the Ravens. Going to that one with my family. First game my son's going to see live, so that should be exciting. But what a happy holidays to everyone, and it's going to be a busy one for us who cover football.
Yes, happy holidays indeed. Not happy holidays for our spouses, that's for sure. Our family members who will just have to sacrifice, you know, as football is on TV. I'm trying to get a good arrangement with my wife, even on the Saturday slate. Just like maybe we can watch, you know, have a Christmas movie on one TV, the football on the other TV. We'll figure it out. I know nobody cares and nobody has any sympathy for these struggles, but you know, we'll figure it out because it is let me put it this way. It's a potentially very interesting slate of games on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We're going to break all of these teams down here because it is Stat Nerd Thursday, as we always do. You know how it is. Let me give you the one stat that you need to know. For all 32 teams, we go in order of the projected 2024 NFL draft, courtesy of Tankathon. So, of course, that brings us, Dalton, to the Carolina Panthers. And I found it hilarious that there's, like, you look at Chuba Hubbard the last 2 weeks, he has almost an identical stat line. He's played 76% of the snaps in these two games. In week 14, 23 carries for 87 yards with two catches on two targets. Week 15, 22 carries for 87 yards with two catches on two targets. I just thought that was interesting. Chuba Hubbard clearly is the guy in Carolina, and he does have a great matchup this week against the Green Bay Packers.
He's averaged 25 opportunities over the last three games since Frank Reich was fired. You're starting him given that volume. Some weeks he'll find the end zone and others he won't. He's limited.
Very close last week. Very close last week.
And he scored a couple games ago. He's limited by the Carolina offense and Bryce Young, who's just obviously a real problem. They're going to score only a touchdown or two per game. Hopefully he gets one of them. But with that volume, I'm treating him as a top 25 back, even in tougher matchups, just because, man, getting 25 opportunities a game, there's only a handful of backs in the league seeing that.
Yeah, like I said, does not have a tough matchup this week against the Packers. And then in week 17 fantasy championships, he gets the Jags, which is a bit of a tougher spot, but we'll see where the Jags are at this point. We are going to cover them much later in this show. Number two overall team, New England Patriots, Ezekiel Elliott in week 14. Played 91% of the snaps, 88% of the carries, had a 29% target share. But in week 15, these are still big numbers, but all slightly lower. 86% of the snaps, 69% of the carries, and a 19% target share. And obviously the result could not have been farther from what we got in week 15. Kevin Harris, who I actually kind of like Kevin Harris. He's a big back. He plays pretty physical. We haven't seen very, very little of him in his NFL career, but I remember I think it was last year when he was a rookie, he played against the Arizona Cardinals. I named him as like a deep, deep sleeper on the Chris Harris football show. He got in there and scored a touchdown. He played a little bit, which really does mess things up for Zeke because you need him to get all of the touches.
Yeah, brutal after Zeke got 100% of the running back touches in New England's backfield, finishing as the number one fantasy back 2 weeks ago. He gets 2.3 yards per carry, flops against the Chiefs defense that ranked last in the league in DVOA against the run the previous 5 weeks. Yeah, you said he also lost the touchdown carry. So really brutal there from penthouse to outhouse. And now he does get a favorable matchup again to Denver, a run funnel defense this week. And just depends on your alternatives, obviously, but he's another top 25 type option right in the same tier as, say, a Hubbard.
Yeah, I think Hubbard and Zeke, that, like, is there one that you'd prefer over the other there?
No, it's similar. I put Zeke higher. Last week, I ranked Zeke too high, man. I just liked the volume in that matchup, and he looked like, you know, we were afraid he was going to look at his age previously, but split the difference there and treat him as a top 20-ish back this week. I have Zeke a couple spots ahead of Hubbard.
Yeah, split the difference. I like that call. All right, number three overall team, Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray, in five games this season, he has a 78.4 passer rating, 5.8 adjusted yards per attempt, but he has contributed 155 yards on 29 carries with two touchdowns as a rusher. I'm just kind of curious what your opinion of the Kyler Murray experience has been so far in 2023.
I actually have them exactly back-to-back, Hubbard and Zeke, looking closer. Murray, 5.7 YPA over his last three outings, just four touchdown passes over five games since returning. It was nice to see him run again last week, but a tougher matchup against the Niners, although they were dealing with injuries, to be sure, and they were really successful running James Conner. But it has not been my takeaway in Kyler Murray is this: absolutely keep your options open to draft a quarterback, because it's not just that he may not be the answer, and we have to separate fantasy Kyler Murray and real life Kyler Murray, and those rushing yards help fantasy managers probably more than the Arizona Cardinals future. I mean, the YPA, I've told you I love the YPA, and Murray's really not an efficient quarterback. For a second there, I thought maybe it was Cliff Kingsbury holding him back. He looked so good that first week back. But now I'm to the point of Arizona needs to look into drafting a quarterback, because also you get the cheaper contract too. So that's where I sit.
I do, but you have to imagine that if they want to trade Kyler Murray, that would potentially offset, like, because you got to probably take on some dead money if you trade Murray. That kind of offsets some of the rookie timeline
Fair.
Stuff.
Yeah.
If they're in the third overall pick, like, I don't know. I still think we've seen some glimpses from Murray. And obviously a lot of it matters, like, what he's been like in the building. And by all accounts, those, at least what they say publicly, those reviews have been pretty good from this new coaching staff. I'm pretty tempted though, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, like, third overall pick, you just draft Marvin Harrison, and, like, you go to work. Because, like, you look at this receiver room right now, it's a real mess. You got Michael Wilson playing through injuries. He's a rookie. Marquise Brown, like, I don't even think, like, he's not somebody you can consider playing in fantasy right now, period, even if he is, even if he gets out there and plays, because he's clearly not healthy. Trey McBride has come on, but, like, none of these other depth receivers are anything to write home about. So I don't know. And like, also, by the way, from a Marvin Harrison Jr. perspective, I really don't want this guy, and I have not charted him, right? So let me say that, like, but by all accounts, he's a great player and, like, the best receiver prospect to come along in forever. I really don't want to see him land with, like, the damn Patriots or something like that.
No, that's totally fair. I just meant to keep an open mind if you're the Cardinals at this point.
That
Murray certainly is not, you know, came in and just demanded the position. But and he's also had to deal with, you know, Marquise Brown constantly injured and Michael Wilson. I mean, a really weak receiving core that, like, totaled 20 yards last week. Before we leave the Cardinals, it's Trey McBride. It might be my number one fantasy tight end on a board entering next year. I mean, he is this number two fantasy tight end and leading the league in target share, targets per route run, and yards per route run since taking over Arizona's role in week 8 or 9. So super impressive. Mackey Award winner, impressive college resume, jumps out in the page when you see him, whether it's Murray or, you know, a top draft pick throwing to him next year. I think there's an argument between him and Laporta. Andy will obviously, I think I know where Andy Behrens will side, but I think that it's going to come down to that, you know, given what Kelsey's doing in his age group. By the way, Kelsey's still producing. I know everyone's down on him. You look at his PPR production, it's not horrible, but you look at his age and his trajectory, I think it's going to come down to Laporta or McBride as the top fantasy tight end off the board next year.
Yeah, Laporta is the current tight end one in fantasy because he scored 9 touchdowns. Travis Kelce leads the position in yards. He's third in receptions behind TJ Hockenson and Evan Engram. I think that, yeah, I'm with you. I think Trey McBride and Sam Laporta will be the two guys that people will probably end up ranking one and two, which actually would, like, even if you get this version of Travis Kelce in, like, the third or fourth round or something like that, that'd actually be, I mean, it'd be another year older, all of that. You think they potentially add some bodies in the wide receiver room, but that actually would be a draft day discount that I would potentially think about taking.
Yes, that's absolutely fine if he does fall to drafts like that. Sorry, I was just looking at more McBride's numbers. The guy has a 40% yardage share since week 8. That's like a wide receiver one. I mean, I know this situation's kind of perfect for him, but people are going to look at the overall numbers and not realize that he wasn't even starting, you know, since week 8. Zach Ertz was the guy, and now he's second year in the league. Again, impressive college resume. the target share. You look at the yards per route run and all that. He's matching Travis Kelce. So I think he's the future at the position, him and Laporte. And Laporte has lucked out a little bit in the touchdown department. You look at that. But I think it's a real debate between those two.
Yeah, definitely. Like Trey McBride across the course of the season, he's sixth in tight end targets. He is sixth in tight end yards. He's only scored twice. And like you mentioned, he wasn't starting for the early part of the season. He's been incredible since he's really gotten that full on promotion. So yeah, I'm with you. I think Trey McBride easily has a case to be the tight end one next season.
He has a higher target per route run rate than Travis Kelce through 15 weeks. Sorry, 28% for him, 15% for Kelce, Jacob Gibbs tweet. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And again, he wasn't even starting the first half, but of course, when on the field, he's demanding more targets than Travis Kelce.
Yeah, dude's a baller. And he is a reminder too. He did like nothing as a rookie and honestly was pretty unimpressive, like very forgettable rookie season. So he is a reminder that, yes, we've gotten spoiled now with, Sam Laporta, obviously, Dalton Kincaid to a lesser extent, all of these tight ends that have hit this year. It's a reminder still, like, you can have a bad rookie season at tight end and still end up becoming a star, because I think that is a trajectory that Trey McBride is on. Fourth overall team, Washington Commanders. Ian Harditz tweets this: in two drives with Jacoby Brissett, Terry McLaurin gained 93 yards and caught a touchdown while also being tackled at the 1 yard line on another bomb. In his previous 13 games with Sam Howell, McLaurin's single game high in receiving yards was 90, and he has scored 2 touchdowns. Man, I mean, look, they're going to go back to Sam Howell, so it is what it is. It's a tough secondary matchup, even though obviously Miami just tore up the Jets this past weekend. Even though McLaurin had a great performance last week, I don't feel very comfortable going back to him in this spot.
I wrote about McLaurin this week. My numbers do lie. The guy's averaging just 59 yards receiving this year, 3 touchdowns. He's fantasy's wide receiver number 40 in points per game. Ugh. I mean, Sam Howell leads the NFL in pass attempts. McLaurin leads the NFL in routes run. But, you know, his target rate's 19.3%, 59th among wide receivers. He has 4 catches in the red zone all season. It's just wild. After 50 minutes of another quiet game, just miserable with Howell last week, he exploded those 93 yards and nearly 2 touchdowns. One, he was tackled at the 1 yard line in the final 9 minutes with Jacoby Brissett. It's not like, you know, Joe Montana came in, but his season pace with Brissett would look quite silly in what he did in that one quarter. Here are the quarterbacks that Scary Terry has played with throughout his career: Case Keenum, Dwayne Haskins, Colt McCoy, Alex Smith, Kyle Allen, Taylor Heineke, Garrett Gilbert, Carson Wentz, and Howell. I mean, it's a bad luck. His bad luck continued last week. Not because he tackled at the one. He drew a defensive pass interference in the end zone. He got no credit for this amazing one-handed catch down the field. I cited your perception as a fan of his route running. The dude's career would be completely different in a different system and quarterback. It's sad. He's a star. He could be a top 10 fantasy wideout in a different system, different setup.
Yeah, sucks. I don't know what else to say other than it just sucks, because I definitely get like Allen Robinson vibes from Terry McLaurin, where I'm just scared that like eventually he's going to hit with like a, or he's going to get paired up with a good quarterback. And like Allen Robinson got paired up with Matthew Stafford, it was too late. It was like he was past that point in his career where he could be a big impact producer like that. So yeah, I'm scared that that's going to happen again for my guy Terry McLaurin, who's a very, very, very good real life receiver. All right, fifth overall team, Chicago Bears. Week 15, season low, 2.4 adjusted yards per attempt for Justin Fields in a game where he started. It was lowest in a game where he started and finished. There was a game against the Vikings where he got injured, and that was the lower adjusted yards per attempt. But regardless, so Fields coming off a pretty rough performance. Bears offense coming off a pretty rough performance. How do you feel about them going into week 16?
Fields, man, he just deserved far better last week. Did you watch that game? I mean, I understand he finished with just 4.2 YPA. Both his interceptions came on Hail Marys. The one at the end of the first half, the replay later showed after halftime already happened. The announcers were just like, by the way, that interception clearly hit the ground, but we're just going to still count that as an interception on his stats. The second one should have not only been a Hail Mary, it should have been caught by Darnell Mooney to win the game as a touchdown. He threw another 74-yard dime to Big Bob Tunyon. Oh. I think it was one of the prettiest passes of the season, and he dropped that one. He had a rushing touchdown nullified by a holding penalty, in fairness to that one. He did throw a touchdown to Kmet the next play on a sick play in which he avoided the pass rush. Fields was fine against the, in Cleveland. By the way, that defense has allowed by far the fewest yards per play in Cleveland. So Fields the next 2 weeks at home against Arizona, at home against the Falcons during the fantasy championship weeks. I think he's going to put up monster numbers. He's due for some more rushing touchdowns too, averaging 11.2 rush attempts over the last four games.
Yes, that's why I made sure to say rough outing for the Bears offense, not necessarily just Justin Fields, because you are right. He was so let down by that Bob Tonyan drop. That's a killer. I mean, that is a killer. That's what you get for being a tight end wearing number 18. I mean, come on, grow up and get a number in the 80s. Give me a break. It's bad enough we have these receivers running around in the non-80 jersey numbers. I maintain receivers look the best in the clean 80 jersey numbers. I'm a boomer. I get it. I don't care. But the tight ends, like, enough already. Let's get them back into the 80s. Bob Tonyan running out there with the 18 dropping that pass. Give me a break.
And the Bears had a pick six. That's the absolute worst thing for your fantasy quarterback is when your own team does that. But Bears defense continued to play well despite losing the defensive end. Man, they're just getting the turnovers, getting the sacks, and now a couple decent matchups if you want to use them. In, you know, I'm going to rank them borderline top five. Against Heinicke next week. I thought it was going to be Ridder on the road. But Murray, I mean, you know, he's not exactly lighting it up and now having to travel. Who do you gun to head here, Harmon? Chicago or Denver this week in Survivor? Do you know the $9 million Survivor? 12 of 13 agreed to chop the $9 million last week, and one absolute legend declined. And just some poker player, and he's like, "I'm the best better in the world. I got this."
That's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. Just a legend. But anyway, I think everyone's going to be on Denver this week, and I'm actually alive in the pool that didn't force me to pick in Thanksgiving, and I kind of like the Bears more. Is that crazy?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we'll talk about the Broncos in a little bit, but Bears defense is legit, good. Yeah, Bears defense is legit good. I think the Broncos were frauds in terms of a defense perspective, which again, we'll talk about in a second.
But they relying on turnovers.
Relying on turnovers. They can absolutely be beat. I wonder if, you know, and they're still a pretty aggressive defense. I think Fields, if his pass catchers, you know, can catch damn ball, like they should be fine. I think I like the Bears a lot better than the Arizona going against the Arizona Cardinals this week. Denver against New England, though. New England is so hapless. I think I like the Bears a little bit better.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. The Broncos are slightly more favored, but both coming off losses. But yeah, it's close. But I think the general public's going to be all over the Broncos on that Sunday night game in Survivor pools this week.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. If you're Sean Payton, you lose to this version of the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. Not a great look. All right, sixth overall team, New York Giants. Saquon Barkley had a season-low 37 yards from scrimmage last week. Not a encouraging performance from the fight in Tommy DeVito's last week. How are you feeling about them going against an Eagles defense that's officially called by Matt Patricia now?
Horrible matchup, Barkley. He sat out, I believe, most of the fourth quarter. I don't think it was an injury. I think it was just the lopsided score. But nah, that's
Kenneth
a bad
Walker
matchup.
Kenneth Walker did shred the Eagles.
DeVito's magic appears to have run out. I rank Barkley as my RB19 this week. His ECR is RB15, so it is what it is. I mean, you're almost certainly using him and just keeping your expectations lowered, but he's their whole offense. So I mean, he'll get a lot of touches. It's just a matter of, does he score inside the five this week or not? Kind of is how his fantasy finish will be. But man, it's not a great setup here. The Giants have the second lowest implied team total at 15 points. Only the Patriots, aforementioned Patriots, are projected to score fewer points this weekend.
Speaking of not scoring a lot of points, number seven overall team, New York Jets. Zach Wilson was under pressure on 73% of his dropbacks last week. Dalton, 73%. Absolutely outrageous. We don't know if Zach Wilson's even going to play. He is in concussion protocol right now. I think if he clears the protocol, he will play. But, man, what an absolutely disaster season from the New York Jets. I mean, even if Aaron Rodgers was out there, I don't think this team was going to meet expectations with this offensive line and the injuries they suffered going forward.
So I'll turn it back to you. Do you consider Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and DFS this week, no matter who's starting in quarterback? It does sound like Zach Wilson was beat up pretty bad last week, but Jets are actually favored. They're at home, a decent implied team total with this against Washington defense that is probably and arguably the worst in football right now. Yahoo DFS has salary as Breece Hall is like a top five guy, and I like it. I'm into it. I ranked him like that. But are we crazy, though? I mean, it's, you know, he's coming off, you know, who's going to play quarterback in this offense is a total disaster.
I need Zach Wilson to play so bad in the league that we're in together, the injury prone league. I survived Zach Wilson giving me negative points last week because Christian McCaffrey is a god amongst mere mortals. Because otherwise, I'm looking at Case Keenum, Taylor Heineke, or Bailey Zappi with CJ Stroud out. So I mean, I'm in a rough spot. Not that anybody cares about my problems, but I need Zach Wilson to play real bad. I think if Wilson's out there, I can play Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall as well. But I think if they're not out there, I'm pretty concerned. Who's it? Brett? I mean, is it Brett Rippon? Is the backup quarterback now? No, Trevor Siemian.
No, Siemian. Siemian came out there.
Yeah.
Frankly, threw it more to Garrett Wilson. Jalen Ramsey, I didn't expect to shadow and just completely shut down Wilson right. like that last
that,
week.
That is a good point that, I mean, the Dolphins defense has been pretty good. Let me ask you on the inverse. Would you consider streaming the Commanders defense against this offense?
It's an uglier one, but they're so bad.
They're so bad.
I had them. No,
they don't get any
you
pressure
could do better.
On the quarterback.
My answer is
yeah.
No. Yeah, you could do
they
better.
They don't
no.
get Even any pressure on the quarterback. Yeah.
No, I have them barely, you know, as a top 15 start this week. There are other sleepers you could go after, like my aforementioned Bears, or I'd far rather start the Jets, conversely, or really a top three start this matchup. Oh, yeah. I mean, against that Hal offense looks dreadful right now, and that's still a tough one at home. So that's why I could see Breece Hall in an actual favorable game script having a nice game here. You know, he really set another guy who sat out the second half a lot last week. But it's been an ugly year for the Jets, and I know that offensive line remains one of their biggest problems. But before we move on past New York, why does Aaron Rodgers just trigger the media so much? It's crazy. Now people are like happy he's not playing because it was all about him. It's like, well, it might have something to do with the Jets not being out of the playoffs, too. That also could have something to do with that, but I don't know. The Aaron Rodgers saga, to me, I just find humorous and comical how much our community and the media just gets triggered by everything he says.
A lot of reasons.
My assumptions why, but...
We have our assumptions why, but I will say, like, I got another freaking alert today about, like, Aaron Rodgers officially not coming back this season. I was like, I think I've heard about this now the four times since friggin' like Friday last week. Okay. Like enough already. We get it. So I think that's beyond all the other stuff. The main sentiment is like, we get it. Okay. We've just had to hear so much about it, which I mean, like,
that's true.
It's a cycle really. I mean, a lot of the stuff we talked about yesterday with Austin and media and stuff like that, it is a full cycle of just like, well, yeah, I mean, people hate Aaron Rodgers, so the media talks about him more because he's clickbait. Yeah, so I mean, it's a vicious cycle of it all, and then he gets more annoying because we talk about him so much. So it's a vicious cycle.
Great pod with Eckler, by the way. Loved it. Really good stuff. Everyone should check that out.
Thank you. Yeah, everybody should listen to that. Speaking of which, brings us to our eighth overall team here. LA Chargers, Easton Stick completed 9 of 14 passes on 16 dropbacks for 75 yards with 2 sacks in the first half of week 15. He actually ended up with pretty decent fantasy numbers, and he didn't even get there with rushing. I thought Stick could scoot. My prop bets didn't pay off on Easton Stick rushing yards. So that was unfortunate, but you know, yeah, he ended up having pretty decent numbers, but like, let's not kid ourselves. It was not a good performance from that Chargers offense when the game was even remotely competitive. Is there anyone you would consider playing? Eckler included. Is there anyone you'd consider playing? I guess Austin's going to play. He seemed like he's going to play the rest of the season, but I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah, he's more of an RB2, RB3. Just depends on your alternatives here. I'm totally with you on Easton Stick. He was on my bench in a Superflex league, and I was surprised at his final point total.
Same,
after
yeah.
looking at the first three quarters of that.
I'm on the bench in a Superflex dynasty league, and I was like, what? How did he get 20? Weird. Well,
and without the running, as you said, too. That was the thesis. Keenan Allen, you're playing if he returns to health, but we're following his status there. That's the only person you're feeling confident with, and I think you're starting him no matter the quarterback situation there, given his volume, if he's healthy.
Good Lord. All right, number 9 overall team, Tennessee Titans. Ryan McDowell tweets this: Derrick Henry is the first player in NFL history to have at least 20 touches in a game and produce less than 15 yards from scrimmage. It is not D'Hember, that's for sure. Derrick Henry even had comments like after the game saying this is probably his last ride with the Titans and, you know, wishes it was a better one. But it does look like all wheels up for Tajay Spears potentially next season, although they could still obviously draft it back.
Yeah, it's wild. Henry, 20 touches, 10 yards after averaging 203 rushing yards and scoring 10 touchdowns over his previous five games against Houston. Texans run defense is obviously playing better. And in that same game, Devin Singletary goes off for 170 scrimmage yards. That was a wild one. Henry's probably done in Tennessee. We're wondering now who's playing quarterback here. But Spears is going to be an exciting player in the future.
Number 10 overall team, Atlanta Falcons. Bijan Robinson received a season low 8 touches in week 15. We've obviously talked the entire fantasy community, and honestly now like the NFL community is talking about it. It's not even like this is a fantasy football problem. Like the Falcons stink, and I think a lot of it is because of personnel usage. We're all talking about it at this point, so it's been talked to death what happened with Bijan Robinson last week. But I want to simply ask you, this coming week, Dalton, week 16, in another theoretical good spot, what's your confidence level with Bijan Robinson against the Colts in week 16?
Yeah, so he's my RB6 this week.
Knew I could count on you, Dalton.
Thinking of using him in DFS. Love the contrarian angle there. Hopefully people are fed up with him. But in Yahoo's, he's the number 2 back. So we're not giving any discount there. And I appreciate the bullishness. But last week was a total disaster, to say the least, for Bijan. I mean, he had people are worried about the fumble in the third, but that fumble came in the end of the third quarter. At halftime, he had 5 carries. Tyler Algier and Cordarrelle Patterson had 12 combined. So it was not like a punishment for the fumble. I've heard some speculation the weather was part of it, but either way, I would personally have preferred Desmond Ridder stayed quarterback here and maybe even used him as a minimum in DFS because he's so much better at home. But Heinicke's here starting at home. Such a favorable matchup. Bijan, I just think that he's a contrarian play and to go back in DFS. Before last week, he had taken over the goal line role. It looked like we were finally getting the RB1 usage that we had been waiting for. So do I have any confidence in it? No. Do I rank Bijan Robinson as a borderline top 5 fantasy back this week? Yeah.
Respect. I respect it. Just a couple of things to note, like maybe other reasons to explain this beyond just like Arthur Smith is a bonehead, although this is a boneheaded thing to do. There is some thought too that, and not even thought, I mean, Smith has basically said this, that they think Tyler Algier is one of the best like short yardage condensed spaces back. And like, when if you just look at the runs that Bijan Robinson has thrived on, it's when there's not like a condensed box, there's not 8 men in the box, stuff like that. Like, he's really good in these lighter boxes, and you know, maybe that the Panthers were kind of stacking the box, so they decided to keep running Tyler Algier because they think he's good. Now, it's stupid to draft the back 8th overall and then minimize him. It's just not a good allocation of resources. The Colts, who they play this weekend, they play 2 high coverages on the 7th highest rate in the NFL, though the Panthers are 3rd highest, or excuse me, they play single high, 7th highest, and then the Panthers, like I said last week, were 3rd highest. So maybe it's another Tyler Algier game. I have no idea. I mean, again, the confidence level is tough.
Yeah, I know the matchups, that's great to point out. Colts have also allowed the 4th most fantasy points to running backs, and the Falcons have a really healthy implied team total this week too. So it's concerning. Yeah, if it's a matchup schematically doesn't fit, again, who knows? Maybe he'll, you know, see frustrating snap shares yet again. It's entirely within the range of outcomes here in Arthur Smith's likely final days coaching. Maybe not, though. I don't know. They need to figure out that quarterback situation, that's for sure.
Yeah, Arthur Blank made comments about it this week, the Falcons owner. So we shall see if Smith can survive this.
Small sample, but I want to point out Heinicke's target rate is pretty bad for Drake London. And London's great home road splits.
Yeah, I think it's 22%.
It's not good. So again, small sample, but if you're looking to him as a cheaper DFS or in your lineup, man, at home roads, he's been very fine at home. Just beware that the Heinicke switch may not be great news.
Number 11 overall team, Green Bay Packers. Packers routes run in week 15 out of 41 dropbacks Tucker Kraft leads the way, 37. Romeo Doubs, 32. Dontavian Wicks, 28. Malik Heath, 16. Jaden Reed only ran 15 routes, but team high 8 targets. He was a little banged up late in the game. Patrick Taylor, the running back, was 15 routes ahead of Aaron Jones. Just curious how you see this Packers passing game rotation working against those aforementioned Carolina Panthers this week.
Few things here. Aaron Jones, is this $21 in Yahoo DFS? This is very interesting here. It's a run funnel Carolina defense. A.J. Dillon, the broken thumb. And yes, all these injuries to the wide receivers. Your guy, Wicks, was reportedly playing through a high ankle sprain.
I was surprised he played.
I know, but he looked good, and he might just see a ton of targets this week with all the injuries if our guy, Reed, can't play, and with Watson still dealing with his injury. And, you know, Dobbs just, you know, he's just okay. So I think Wicks is a sleeper this week. And Tucker Kraft, the actual DFS minimum in Yahoo this week. I just think he's simply mispriced there. That's just mispriced. He's been a top 10 fantasy tight end in 2 of 4 weeks since Luke Musgrave went on IR. And yeah, should see increased targets this week with Watson and Reed banged up. And he passes the eye test. The target rate hasn't really like jumped off the page, but if you watched him, Tucker Kraft looks pretty good. So some interesting plays here. And I believe Carolina, the weather looks far better this weekend than compared to last.
Yeah, we won't get into it here because we're 30 minutes in. We've only covered 11 teams. But I think like deciphering this group long term, because they're all so young. I mean, didn't even mention Luke Musgrave, obviously Christian Watson. Those guys aren't playing right now, but it's such a young group. Like deciphering them long term is going to be really fascinating. But again, won't get into it here because we could spend like 10 minutes on that and Colin's going to kill me. All right. 12th overall team, Las Vegas Raiders. Zamir White in week 15, he played 70% of the snaps, 65% of the rush attempts, and he ran a route on 51% of the dropbacks. I mean, what an incredible role for Zamir White. Where would you rank him if we don't get Jacobs this week?
Yeah, where do I have White? Let's see. He is he'd be like an RB3 around my RB35-ish, let's say around that. I feel like there's others getting involved. He is not really impressed. Abdul Romaine Bolden. So I don't know. I'm not overly pumped up about this. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think he's probably a guy you should have better options in, but I don't know. I mean, that was pretty good usage, and we know they want to run the ball there. I just don't think they'll be in that kind of game script that they were in, obviously, this week against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and the Chiefs are really, you know, they've struggled run defense lately, but this game script could scream for a lot more Abdullah. I would actually really worry about playing Zamir White in this setup.
Fair. All right, 13th overall team, New Orleans Saints, skipping them for Thursday Night Football. 14th overall team, Denver Broncos. We talked about them a little bit earlier, so we don't have to go too long here, but Denver allowed 447 total yards against the Lions. That was the most they've seeded since 471 against the Bears in Week 5. Again, we think that defense is pretty fraudulent.
Yeah, the pass defense has definitely improved than when they were getting ripped for 70 points, but they're very vulnerable on the ground. And a lot of their EPA, when you look at that stuff, as we mentioned, it's based off some turnover luck. They've improved. They're moving in the right direction. But as we've alluded to, I wouldn't be shocked if New England, who has a very good defense, makes this a close game. You know, really, I don't like Javonte Williams in this matchup. So, I could see this being a closer one.
15th overall team, Seattle Seahawks, DK Metcalf, weeks 13 to 15. He has a 37.4% air yard share, but he's only been targeted on 19% of his routes run. That is the lowest among the top three receivers. All these guys are in a smash spot here against the Tennessee Titans in week 16.
Yeah, I expected the receivers to have better performance against the Eagles, but they get a similar pass funnel matchup here against Tennessee. Maybe Geno Smith returns and changes thing, and props to Drew Lock for that 90-yard drive at the end, throwing great passes. What about my guy JSN? Imagine actually, I'm not saying that it's all the usage fault, but it would be nice to see him. In fact, I'm not going to be targeting him next year, but it would be nice to see him get those attempts downfield, JSN. That was a really nice play. It's been so around the line of scrimmage. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't think targeting him next year is a bad idea. Depends on what happens with these other receipts. Like, is Lockett a guy they move on from? Is he a cap casualty right in the offseason? That is possible, right? I think that probably needs to happen for JSN to be like a super proactive pick. But I don't know, he's looked better of late than he did when they were using him in like the Rondale Moore type stuff to start the season.
Yeah, okay. That's a fair take. Metcalf, yeah, I'd love to see him get a lot of targets in this matchup. He could put up a big fantasy game, but it's just hasn't quite been there this season. But boy, they made some great plays on Monday night there when it mattered most. Metcalf.
16th overall team, Pittsburgh Steelers. George Pickens has cleared 50 receiving yards twice since week 8. They're actually in back-to-back games. And dude, there is a lot of bad stuff with George Pickens right now at this point. Have you seen anything that's like come out of the Steelers lately? I mean, the effort plays, like Mike Tomlin's even talking about it. I read an article this week. He gave like a 5-paragraph response about it to a team on the team website. You know, usually that's like, early on in the season, Tomlin's like, what did he call it? Like a pebble in my shoe or something. Mm-hmm. Well, now he's like openly talking about it. So clearly it hasn't gotten any better. In fact, it's gotten worse for George Pickens on the knucklehead scale.
Yeah, even right before we were recording, I saw a video of him in practice and just totally lackadaisical during a drill. Yeah,
because TJ, you're right. Because TJ Watt said to Rich Eisen on, I think it was on the Rich Eisen show, like, oh, the players aren't practicing the way we should be practicing. And then I think a beat writer quoted it with like that video, like, I wonder who he's talking about or something. I mean, I was legit like cyber bullied this offseason for questioning George Pickens like as a player. And I mean, some of this stuff shows up on film, like, and it shows up in the RP numbers, the lack of like, I don't know, discipline and lack of, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, it shows up.
Yep, it's not good for Pickens, and he's just phased out of the offense too. You look at his route tree. Meanwhile, Deontay Johnson, all he does is catch touchdowns, 3 straight, and I think he even had it in the fourth one the game before that. He nearly had one that was overturned or something. But yeah, it's funny going from never catching it to now being Chris Carter living in the end zone. But Freiermuth's sleeper in this matchup against a Bengals team struggles against tight ends, but he's banged up as well. I don't know. I'm starting Jaylen Warren over Najee Harris if you want me to pick between those. Harris a little banged up, but Warren quietly got more usage last week, had multiple 10-yard runs called back by holding, a better matchup here. But what are you going to do on this Pittsburgh team? That was just, kind of disastrous right now.
This offense is so pathetic. Like, I kind of forgot Pat Freiermuth existed, to be honest with you. I mean, he had that 129-yard game against these Bengals. Since then, 3 catches, 29 yards, 3 catches, 18 yards, 3 catches, 16 yards. And now they're going to start Mason Rudolph, which I do not think is going to be an upgrade. All right, let's move on. My God, the Steelers, what a mess. 17th overall team, Houston Texans. They had a minus 12% pass rate over expectation in week 15. That previously it was minus 2% in weeks 1 to 14. So clearly, with Case Keenum under center, and we might get another Case Keenum week, according to reports, they're just going to try to establish the run.
Yeah, it sounds like more Keenum, and hope, you worry about Stroud's health. Hopefully he gets well soon. Singletary's just been the guy getting it done with volume. And Noah Brown, I questioned, obviously the targets are going to be there with all the injuries, but with the questionable quarterback, and Brown's the kind of receiver that benefited from, star receivers taking the attention. But, oh man, he stepped in the number one role and impressed last week. But yeah, this is an offense it's going to be not as good without its 3 best players on the field.
Yeah, I would say so. Although I think Case Keenum played all right in the second half of that game. It was pretty rough to start, but he played okay in the second half.
He was probably better than our guy, Detective Davis Mills, who was
not our guy. That's your guy. I forgot about the Dalton Del Don Davis Mills era. Yeah. The Dalton Del Don Inner Circle Hall of Fame of Davis Mills, Tyson Bagent, and Tommy DeVito.
Yeah. Tommy DeVito. Yeah, they're all ending well too. What's his next pizza appearance? May not cost quite, or may not charge quite as much for DeVito's next pizza appearance.
Yeah, if you haven't checked out the Tommy DeVito and his agent pizza appearance saga, definitely look into that. That's a funny one. All right, 18th overall team, Buffalo Bills. Stephon Diggs has a 41.9% share of the first read targets over the last 3 weeks. It's the 5th highest among any pass catcher. I think this is an important stat to highlight here because obviously people are freaking out about Stephon Diggs. I thought the bounce back was going to happen last week, and he did lead the team in receiving yards. He had a sick one-handed catch, but they only threw for like 90-something yards because they ran all over the Dallas Cowboys. So I say that to point out here that if and when the Buffalo Bills do open it up on offense, it's still going to be Steph Diggs time. And by the way, the Chargers obviously allow the most passing yards in the NFL, so it could be this week. We just obviously don't know what the game script is going to look like.
You mean it's not Gabe Davis, who's recorded zero catches three times over his last five games and a nice top 10 fantasy finish in between that.
You know that Joe Brady knows ball because he takes over the offensive coordinator job. He's like, we got to stop this Gabe Davis nonsense. Okay. So
seriously. I'm sure James Cook has been hyped enough, but yeah, I mean, he's a bona fide top five fantasy back and getting that many opportunities in that offense. But so on Diggs, on one hand, I've been waiting for the right time to use him in DFS because I know he's going to explode one of these weeks. He's averaging just 41.4 receiving yards over his last five games. And last week is an easy excuse. Josh Allen attempted 15 passes. But on the other hand, is this week the game script could not call? It could be the same thing. They're 12-point favorites against a completely flailing Chargers team, although they could get a bounce with a new coach. That does happen one week after commonly. So I don't love the setup here for Diggs if you're going to like pay up for him in DFS, just because I don't know if the volume will be there this week. But yeah, an eruption week's coming. And this, how wild is it that this Buffalo team was the 11th seed in the AFC entering last week? I mean, they're, you know, I have an argument to be the second best team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, they're set up well. I do like that Joe Brady said after the game this past week, the plan was not to go into Dallas or not to go into this game against Dallas and run all over them, but it was just working. You know, it was working for us, so we stuck with James Cook in the running game. I think that obviously, like, he's a very game plan sensitive guy. Shout out to Joe Brady, by the way. I definitely think he was like talking about Ken Dorsey as a scapegoat. That guy was a scapegoat for the Matt Rhule Panthers. DJ Moore, Mike Davis, Curtis Samuel, and Robbie Anderson all had over 1,000 yards from scrimmage in the 1 year he was the offensive coordinator for the full season in 2020 with Teddy Bridgewater. Like, just another Panthers mistake, firing that guy, in my opinion.
Yeah, man. Fantasy managers are loving it too. The Cowboys had not allowed a 100-yard rusher all season. James Cook at 100 yards by halftime. 221 total yards compared to Dallas's 92 at one point in the fourth quarter. He looks so good too. Still gets removed to the goal line sometimes, dropping a touchdown here and there too. But man, he's in an awesome offense. And remember when Josh Allen, part of the thesis was he never threw to backs. He used to never, ever throw to his running backs. And now his target per route run rate is just through the roof. James Cooks is getting it all and looking great while doing so.
Speaking of breakout second year backs, 19th overall team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rashad White is second in the NFL with 533 yards after the catch among all pass catchers. He's second only to Tyreek Hill, which is crazy. Obviously because he gets passes behind the line of scrimmage, the whole thing. But I was wrong about Rashad White this season. I mean, I was wrong about the Bucs offense as a whole. Because I'm a Baker hater, but still, just shout out to Rashad White for a great season. He's really become more efficient too the longer he's played.
Yep, I was 100% wrong about him as well. Weirdly, he's seen just two targets in three of his past four games, but it's helped that he's caught a touchdown on two of his last four targets, and he's seen an increased rushing workload. At home against the middling Jacksonville defense this week, he's a borderline top two fantasy start. They're favorites, and if we get CJ Beathard, could be a favorable game script. So yeah, I mean, Rashad White, here we are, week 16, and he's the ECR, he's a running back five, and he's RB3 for me.
20th overall team, Minnesota Vikings, your boy Nick Mullins had the 13th highest catchable pass rate in week 15 according to Fantasy Points data, which I found a little surprising because he definitely put the ball in harm's way at times. On the other hand, though, that's all we need. We just need him to like throw catchable passes to these playmakers because, you know, Justin Jefferson's back, but other guys are still stepping up.
Nick Mullins is $23, a near minimum in DFS this week. He was a top 12 fantasy QB last week, got 8.4. He's gotten 8.4 YPA since taking over Minnesota's role. Pass funnel Detroit defense this week, yielding the second fewest fantasy points to running backs, but the fourth most to quarterbacks. He's throwing to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. Ty Chandler looked good last week, but that was the team's first 100-yard rushing game in years. So I think they'll struggle to run this week, and Mullins is going to have to keep up with the Lions' offense. He's sneaky, man. I ranked him as a top 15 fantasy QB this week.
Yeah, I have mega regret in that league I mentioned earlier, the injury-prone league. I had to pick up a quarterback, and I was either spend the rest of my fab, which is, you know, like $30, on Zach Wilson or Nick Mullins to make sure I got one while CJ Stroud was hurt. And I picked Zach Wilson for this week 16 game against the damn Commanders. Now I might not even play in it. again, these are my problems, not your problems out there, people. But look, it's tough. All right, 21st overall team, LA Rams. Skip them for Thursday Night Football. 22nd overall team, Indianapolis Colts. I don't really spend a lot of time on the Colts because honestly, we just don't even know who's going to play for them this week. But Gardner Minshew on RPO passes in week 15. Just 8 dropbacks, 7 attempts, 3 completions for 26 yards. I wanted to bring this up because, like, I've been saying that Gardner Minshew's just been an RPO merchant this year. But honestly, it was just more straight up good, solid dropback play from Gardner in a against a defense that's pretty respectable in the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, Minshew killed me in a super flex playoff league last week, despite losing Michael Pittman early. Man, Joey Porter Jr. shadowing him did not matter before suffering that concussion. But as you said, yeah, who's going to play? Jonathan Taylor, Zach Moss, Michael Pittman, all questionable. So just have to pay attention to that.
Trey Sermon
Minshew,
time.
Minshew got it done. Yeah, Tyler Goodson and Trey Sermon just, man, Zach Moss. Oh, the process was going to work. The process, trust the process, I said in the column with, you know, all that volume. And then it would have paid off if not for, you know, suffering the arm injury at the end of a touchdown run. Because, wow, the Colts went crazy running the ball afterward.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to Zach Moss. He hit the over on the 2.5 catches prop before leaving. So he did his best. All right. 23rd overall team, Jacksonville Jaguars. Travis Etienne has averaged 3.3 yards per carry in weeks 6 to 15, but 8.9 yards per reception. I feel like that what that stat shows me is that the Jaguars have failed Travis Etienne. I don't think he's a perfect back or anything, but like this run out for him has been so, I mean, it's been fine for fantasy, but it's been so unfortunate for like his explosiveness because he can still clearly be a playmaker, but I just don't love the way this run game is designed, and they cannot run block to save their lives there.
Etienne is the number 3 overall scoring fantasy back this season, but just RB29 in points per game since the team's week 9 bye, seemingly worn down thanks to the heavy workload. You know, they had the right idea drafting a running back, but just Tank Bigsby wasn't the right pick. Their screen game's been a disaster, minus 0.29 EPA per screen, and they lead the league in screens. I love Etienne, the player. He has his flaws around the goal line and as a pass catcher, but you see him in space after you get him the ball. He's awesome. So I think this is just Trevor Lawrence. Where do we sit on him, man? I don't know. I definitely have questions of him being a superstar, and I think, unfortunately, he might just be in that second tier. And yeah, I mean, Etienne, he's overall the production's there, but he's really fizzling when it counts most. And now if you got Beathard in Tampa Bay, I mean, he's a DFS fade this week and another, don't, you know, keep expectations in check yet again here.
I'm with you. I'm wondering if Trevor Lawrence tops out as like the top of that. And to me, it's the third tier, right? Because I think there's Mahomes, and then there's Mahomes, Josh Allen. Allen is so good. He's definitely, if there's a second tier, there's the Allen's at the top of the second tier, and like it's Mahomes, and then it's, you know, the Allen, Lamar Jackson, like that group in the second tier, you know, Purdy, obviously, you know, he's
I thought you were going zone. Purdy and then Mahomes, Purdy, gap, yeah. gap, then right, Mahomes, right. Allen. That's what I thought you were doing, but okay,
yeah,
continue.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But regardless, I feel like Trevor Lawrence is kind of in that the top of that third tier right now, and I mean, even I don't even know. I think that might be where he can get. I don't think he has played to that level this season. Like this offense has players. They don't have great players, and Christian Kirk being injured hurts, but still, man. And it isn't a well-designed offense, but it just doesn't feel like he's doing more with less. It feels like he's doing enough with what he's got, if that makes sense.
Brief. One last thing I'll say on Jacksonville is if Lawrence plays this week, Calvin Ridley in DFS, I think just 23 in Yahoo, no Zay Jones, no Christian Kirk, a pass funneled Tampa Bay. And Ridley's getting all this volume, so due for it. He leads the league by a mile in almost touchdowns. I mean, how many times is the guy going to fall within a foot out of the end zone?
And pass interference yards,
it's insane,
too.
All those. Yes, exactly. So if Lawrence suits up, I mean, Calvin Ridley, like top 12 fantasy tight end this week, and Parker Washington, a sleepy sleeper.
24th overall team, Cincinnati Bengals. T. Higgins had the 10th highest expected fantasy points among wide receivers in week 15, according to Fantasy Points Data's model. Hey, no Jamar Chase this week, but you mentioned Joey Porter Jr. earlier. Shadow matchup there, possibly. How are we feeling about T. Higgins in week 16?
And 4 games without Chase last year. four top 24 fantasy finishes, 26.2 target share for Higgins, but you said it, tougher matchup. So where do we have Higgins this week? I have him as my wide receiver 23 right now. His ECR is 18, so even more bullish. So yeah, borderline top 20 fantasy wideout if Chase misses this game. Browning, can I take the L, I guess, after one? I mean, he didn't look so much like a mirage last week. I mean, he looked pretty good, and he got it done again. Yeah, I mean, he did miss that long throw to Charlie Jones, but that would have just put his numbers even more. So scoring three straight touchdown drives on a Vikings defense that didn't allow any touchdowns in forever, you know, I got to give credit where it's due. And he did that when Chase left the game. So I don't know. Browning, props, man. Folsom High, local kid here, 91 touchdowns senior year. His numbers were silly in high school. Maybe he can play.
I think he's a good backup. Looks like a good backup. All right, 25th overall team, Kansas City Chiefs. Over the last 2 weeks, Rashee Rice has run around on 80.2% of the Chiefs' dropbacks, and while his ADOT is only 5.1, he has a 23.5% target share. That is the highest on the team. He has emerged as, again, I don't know if he's like a true number one receiver in the NFL. He's still very kind of, honestly, it's funny. He replaced Juju Smith-Schuster, and I didn't really think that was, like, that just wasn't how he played in college, but that is kind of how they're using him. He just has more... I mean, Juju had a lot of juice to start his career. So he's actually kind of playing in that sort of way where he's beating zone coverage. He's only working on like underneath crossing routes, stuff like that. He's occasionally making contested catches, which is good to see because that was something he struggled with his final year of college. But he's one of these guys that like did not profile as an outside receiver, you know, based on like reception perception. I know he played through an injury in college too, so it was a big part of why I kind of threw that sample out. But he's made this successful transition to this role. I still think they need a receiver on the perimeter to step up. But for now, Rashee Rice is like a guy you got to start in fantasy.
Yeah, he's my wide receiver 11 this week. He's averaging 9.5 targets over the last four games from Patrick Mahomes. And a lot of them are in the red zone, too. So, I mean, yes, he's a wide receiver one down the stretch. That's where we are, even with his flaws and all as a route runner. With a fading Kelsey in this offense, the rookie is borderline top 10 fantasy wide down the stretch. Briefly, I just want to say Mahomes threw for 300 yards last week for the first time in seven games. But, man, it could have been so much more. It was just crazy, crazy bad luck. He was super sharp. I know your guy said the same after watching the film. He lost a touchdown pass to Jerick McKinnon. He watched Kadarius Toney turn an easy catch into an interception, got zero help from his rushing attack. Travis Kelce had another potential touchdown in the third quarter that he couldn't secure. So Mahomes was fantastic. He had the second most red zone attempts in the game this year, so could have been a bigger fantasy game. He was awesome if you just watched him. So big fantasy finish for Mahomes, I'm predicting.
I keep saying they got to get Kadarius Toney off the field, but now with Sky Moore going on IR, I mean, you probably got to play him even more, which is unfortunate. All right, 26th overall team, Cleveland Browns. Joe Flacco has the lowest expected completion percentage in the league, 59.9% among quarterbacks this season, according to Next Gen Stats. I mean, Joe Flacco, it's just like they're not doing little Mickey Mouse stuff with him. He's like ripping heaters down there. That throw to Amari Cooper, probably one of the best throws of the season, man.
Yeah, it's impressive what he's done coming off the couch, man. Even if he was picked off three times last week, he's averaging 313 passing yards, seven touchdowns over three games, dealing with a bad offensive line. Njoku was the number two fantasy tight end back-to-back weeks.
Crazy.
Amari Cooper is getting, he's clearly Flacco's number one guy. Even the game before when Cooper left and we got excited about Elijah Moore, Cooper was out targeted him 5-1 before departing. So Flacco likes him. This week we get, you know, not an ideal matchup because Houston, you know, no Stroud and Rode Cooper. And I said Stingley and Nelson are already maybe, I know the they're still getting produced on as far as opponent fantasy receivers, but I said they already might be the best cornerback duo in the league. Bet futures on Houston, man. That they have so many interesting players there. But Flacco, what a story, throwing the ball like crazy, and it has become a viable borderline, you know, top 15 fantasy QB option given that volume.
It is worth noting when you think about the Texans defense, they've been a pretty good rush defense, especially of late. D'Amico Ryans has those guys playing extremely good football. So I wonder if, I mean, they're second in rushing success rate allowed this season, the Houston Texans. Like, we saw last week when the Browns went against the third rushing success rate defense in the Chicago Bears. They're like, yeah, we have so many offensive line injuries. We're not going to try to run the ball. Okay. We're just, come what may, Flacco's going to give the ball away sometimes, but we're just going to drop back a ton. He had like 40 plus dropbacks in that game. So I think we'll see another high pass attempt game from Joe Flacco, even if it maybe isn't always the most efficient in the world. 27th overall team, Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs has run a route on 58% of the dropbacks since week 12. However, for this week, the Vikings have allowed the 7th most targets to running backs this season, but the 12th fewest yards to the position. A lot of this is because, yeah, they're going to give up targets, but at the same time, running backs like have to stay into pass block. So I'm kind of wondering, like, do we see Jahmyr Gibbs out there running the way more routes, playing on more passing downs than David Montgomery like we have of late? Or is this going to be a game where David Montgomery is on the field a ton because, you know, the Vikings blitz so much, they bring so much heat, you got to have somebody back there that you trust to pass protect. I don't know. I'm kind of going back and forth on which running back is going to play more. It's been more Gibbs lately, and it probably still will be more Gibbs, but do they trust Gibbs in pass protection? I think it's a big test this week.
Yeah, it is a great question. I ranked Gibbs higher, but could easily see Montgomery outscoring him. Montgomery's still the favorite when they get in that goal line area, although Gibbs is running more routes. I think Minnesota is going to be up to the task to put up some points here, over under 47 points. So I think even though the Vikings have been playing strong defense before the lapse last week, I think this one could be pretty good for fantasy managers and both backs, much to Austin Eckler's chagrin, could finish his top 20 backs this week.
Yeah, his eyebrows are screwed. He's in a tough spot. 28th overall team, Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts' adjusted net yards per attempt ranks 20th out of 26 quarterbacks to take 70-plus dropbacks the last 3 weeks. I said it at 70 because basically one of the guys that have played all three games. He is just behind Bailey Zappi, and he's just ahead of Russell Wilson and Tommy DeVito, and he has the lowest passer rating of this group. I don't know why it seems that there's a hesitancy to be like, oh man, what's wrong with the Eagles offense? Quarterback's not playing that well, man. I don't know why there's like a hesitancy to say that. Maybe because Jalen Hurts is a super nice guy. I don't know, but like there's like, well, there's not enough like crossing routes in the offense. There are crossing routes in this offense. They could probably do more to make those the first read or something like that. I don't think the OC change has gone great, but like those throws are available in the offense. The quarterback needs to take them and not bail on clean pockets and not shoot the ball downfield into contested windows. Like, I don't know what the weird hesitancy to say that the biggest problem, no, maybe not the biggest problem, but definitely one of the top three problems with the Eagles offense kind of underperforming expectations of late is the quarterback play.
Hurts has more giveaways than the San Francisco 49ers team does this year. People give, including myself, Dak Prescott a hard time for his home road splits. Jalen Hurts this year on the road, 6.8 yards per attempt, more interceptions than touchdowns. 8 touchdown passes over 8 games, 9 picks. He's playing hurt in his defense.
Yeah.
Clearly playing compromised. And also in his defense, he's remains money for fantasy managers with these 1 yard touchdowns. I mean, it is just a cheat code.
Yeah.
Like I have never seen in football. But yes, the passing offense looks nothing like last year's. It's you know, suffered. Maybe is it losing Steichen? Is it the injury? Good old fashioned regression, whatever it is. They're running, all the above. And DeAndre Swift continues to get tackled at the one every single week too, frustratingly. But yeah, this is an offense that is not clicking on all cylinders. Admittedly, they've dealt with a relatively tougher schedule recently. Bills in KC, Bills defense, Niners defense in Dallas, in Seattle in primetime. You know, it's not been a cakewalk lately.
No, that's fair. Look, and I think Jalen Hurts definitely probably has been banged up this year, but I don't know what that has to do with like him bailing on clean pockets and running horizontally and stuff like that. I think that there's been usually when something is this under expectations, like you said, there's a lot of different reasons. Good old fashioned regression, everything there. I think this is offense too right now looks like a unit that is designed on, hey, we have better players than you, which at times I've said, like, they do have better players than you for the most part. Like, they don't need help, right? Like, AJ Brown doesn't need help to get open. Devontae Smith hasn't had the best season in the world, but like, especially as a contested catch player, but normally he doesn't need help to get open, right? Like these guys, but when your quarterback is struggling, you could do a little more from a coordinator perspective to help out the offense. And that has been, I think, an issue this year. So I think it's been a little bit of good old fashioned regression. Jalen Hurts not playing like he is capable, and I don't think the coaching change from Shane Steichen to Brian Johnson had I don't think you can paint it as anything but a pretty cataclysmic drop off. Let's move to the Miami Dolphins here. Raheem Mostert appeared on 58% of the top 500 Yahoo public leagues. That's the highest rate of any player, Dalton. CMC is at 57.6%. I mean, Raheem Mostert, shout out to him. Incredible run. And we can loop this in with our 30th overall team, the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys ranked dead last in rushing success rate allowed this season. They've given up 148 yards per game on the ground and 5 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks alone. A lot of that coincides with the lack of Jonathan Hankins being banged up. That's been a problem. They have light linebackers. They don't have guys like who can keep them off the linebackers. So tell me why Raheem Mostert, already the most valuable player in fantasy per our public league data, is not going to win people another week here in week 16.
It's interesting they rank last, the Cowboys, in rush rate allowed, considering that Cook was the first 100-yard rusher against them. But clearly it's a vulnerable spot right now. Mostert has more touchdowns this year, 20, than he had over his previous 8 seasons combined. He has 13 of them over 7 games at home. The Dolphins are averaging 35.9 points. Last week he was a top 10 fantasy running back, getting just 2.8 yards per carry and sharing carries with Achan. Mostert's the clear number one. He saw 71% of the snaps before halftime last week, you know, and then it was a blowout. He leads the NFL in carries inside the 10 and inside the 5. I mean, I could see the Cowboys focusing on fixing their run defense, but game script could be a favor here, Miami. Yeah. Here, I mean, because Dak Prescott on the road, Tyreek Hill battling an ankle injury. Mostert's going to get a lot of workload, a heavy workload here, and Miami has the highest implied team total on the DFS slate. So I recommended, you know, using him once again this week.
Yeah. Colin, Cowboys fan, pointed out in the chat, I was going to say this too, that the Cowboys offense has been so good of late, and they played kind of a crappy schedule there for a while. Their offense has been so good of late that teams haven't been able to establish a run game on them. That's why the production doesn't look like the success rate does.
Totally right.
And then obviously when Buffalo was just in there, they like I said with Joe Brady earlier, just saw early in the game, like, yeah, we can just keep running on these guys and we have the game script to do it. I think a lot comes down to, yeah, can Miami's offense do it again without Tyreek Hill if he doesn't play? He did not practice on Wednesday as we are recording this. On the other side of it, I mean, you mentioned Jalen Ramsey. Does he shadow CeeDee Lamb? He hasn't shadowed in a long time, but he's played a lot from the slot in his career. That is a matchup to watch in this one, too, which brings us to our 31st and 32nd overall teams. We compare these ones together, too, because they also play each other this weekend. 31st overall team, San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers have allowed 10.3% of the runs against them to go for 15-plus yards the last 3 weeks. That is the most in the NFL. Ravens run game, obviously very good, although they don't have Keaton Mitchell. That would have been a really interesting matchup with Keaton Mitchell, but 32nd overall team, Baltimore Ravens. Gus Edwards played on 40% of the team snaps, highest rate since week 10. Of course, again, obviously with Keaton Mitchell banged up, we expect him to be the lead back there. I'm just curious, man, are there any matchups on like both sides that you could see being exploited here in addition to this run game one?
Yeah, this should be an absolute fun one. Top two DVOA teams. They're also number 3 and number 11 all-time DVOA through 14 games this matchup. Where do we begin here? It would have been, yeah, I think Baltimore is going to miss some explosiveness on in their backfield. The loss of Keaton Mitchell, obviously Dobbins. Now we have Edwards. Although James Conner did run all over the Niners defense last week, and he is not the fastest guy in the back, the fastest back in the league. Armstead, Hargrave, do they return? Niners definitely dealing with some injuries here. Brock Purdy leads the NFL in passing touchdowns by himself, second in passing yards with the fewest pass attempts. Decent combo there. But yeah, that should be a fun one. The projections show it a higher scoring game here. You know, the Niners have the 4th highest implied team total, 26 points against a really tough Ravens defense. So, I mean, that's pretty wild to actually be projected to score that many points against this awesome of a defense. I mean, they're number one in many categories.
I mean, the 49ers, this 49ers offense and Brock Purdy's stats show it. It's one of the most efficient offenses we've ever seen, period. Kyle Shanahan should be the coach of the year. Like, we're talking McCaffrey. We're talking, Brock Purdy as MVPs. And I get it. Like, If one of those guys wins it, you're not going to hear a second of complaint from me, okay? Because I think both those guys, you know, they're balled out this year, period. But like when we're sitting here talking about, oh, can the quarterback be the MVP? But how could he be the MVP when it's like there's so many good players around him and all this stuff? I mean, what they've done schematically to build this Death Star is one thing, but the way they have developed and scouted these players is another thing for Kyle to put a feather in Kyle Shanahan's hat there. I mean, for Brock Purdy to be Mr. Irrelevant and like even be in this conversation to have these absurd passing stats, like, and I'm not saying this to take anything away from Brock Purdy. I just think like we're due to give Kyle Shanahan like something official credit wise, like coach of the year. Obviously, some people will just never respect him until he wins the Super Bowl because of some of the playoff, you know, monkeys he's got to get off his back. That's fine. But I think like there's got to be some credit for what this team has become. If it's not Brock Purdy MVP, if it's not Christian McCaffrey MVP, I think it should be Kyle Shanahan as his coach of the year. Not to mention too, like we talk about all these players as if they are, you know, they're these superstars because they are all superstars, but you know, McCaffrey was a guy they traded for. That's one thing. Debo was a second round pick. Ayuk was like the fifth receiver drafted that year. I mean, he went behind Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. Those guys are good, but like Jerry Jeudy, like Jalen Reagor went ahead of him in that draft. Okay. It wasn't like he was a slam dunk pick. Actually, a lot of people criticized the pick of Brandon Ayuk. And then he goes into the doghouse, which is that's a coaching decision, but then he develops him out of the doghouse. Look at like some of these guys that get, you know, like we talked about George Pickens earlier, like there's a skill to getting guys to buy in and get it out of that, that sort of space in their career where they're overrating themselves. And now Ayuk is, I mean, he's an incredible player. George Kittle was a day three draft pick. You know, these guys became stars under Kyle Shanahan. And I think, again, that is a credit to the coaching staff. I think he should be the coach of the year this year.
Oh, you're so, so right. I love this take. It's about expectations and the coach of the year, you know, just seemingly whoever exceeds them the most. But instead of getting worked up over arguing Purdy or McCaffrey or another one, this is the most obvious deserving winner of an award is Shanahan because he has the multiple MVP candidates. He's the guy with all the yards after the catch, the system that's scheming these guys wide open that has all the quarterbacks putting up the big numbers. Purdy's excelling in it. And you see Darnold step in and it was a little shaky there. But man, you're going back to Nick Mullins having the second most passing yards over 16, his first career 16 starts. It's just in Garoppolo's EPA and all that. Yeah, man, Shanahan, it's hard to deny at this point. As frustrating as his in-game management can be, he's the number one seed right now with this with these awesome efficiency numbers, and yet he's not even like considered in the in the coach of the year talk. It's a silly award.
Yeah, like we don't have to just give it to the person who exceeds expectations every year. We don't have to give it to Matt Nagy. We don't have to give it to Jason Garrett. We don't have to give it to Brian Daboll, right? Like we can give it to just who did the best coaching job. I mean, it's Kyle Shanahan. It's a well-built roster too because of Kyle Shanahan. So I mean, that's my take, is that I think he should be the coach of the year this year. Again, if Brock Purdy wins MVP, that's cool with me. Chris McCaffrey wins MVP, I think that would be awesome. I actually think that would be pretty badass if McCaffrey wins MVP. But I think the one thing I feel pretty strongly about is Shanahan should be coach of the year. But hey, this matchup is going to dictate a lot of all this stuff.
I was going to say in a big game for my 45-1 bet for Brock, because Lamar is the second now. He's moved to number two in the MVP betting market. And if he wins this game, you know, that's huge in primetime here in front of everyone, and they'll be the one seed. So the quarterback from the one seed. So as far as me, my guy, Purdy, I really want him to win here for multiple reasons, because yeah, Lamar Jackson could win the MVP on Monday night.
Yeah. And I think that would be a great discussion to have, because statistically he doesn't have the resume, Lamar, to be the MVP. But like, again, this is like why the award is fraught, right? Because we're talking about the most valuable player. And like, yeah, if Lamar Jackson beats the 49ers is a part of beating the 49ers on Christmas, you know, friggin' day. And after all of our families have left us and we're all, you know, looking for marriage counseling, whatever, Lamar beats the 49ers after having this type of season in the first year in the offense and everything has evolved around him, like, and just watch the guy play. That is some true value. So like, screw EPA, screw, you know, adjusted yards per attempt, any of that stuff. Like, Lamar is definitely one of the most valuable players in the league, and I think that would go a long way to cementing it. But again, I do just want to give a lot of credit to the 49ers here. And honestly, for you personally, Dalton, I want you to win the Brock Purdy MVP ticket. That's what I really want to happen.
I appreciate that, Harmon. Thank you. It's consolation after my Trey Lance era. So we yeah.
Never forget the commissioned Trey Lance painting in Dalton's back.
Never forget. Yes, there'll be a pretty one here soon enough. But no, it's exciting. A crazy career, to be Mr. Irrelevant and even have this conversation is pretty wild now. But yes, it's a nuanced talk, MVP in the NFL. It's not like the other two sports where you can just compare their obvious numbers. Too many moving parts in the NFL. But Monday night, Lamar Jackson could absolutely make it a real conversation or maybe even take the lead, or Purdy could sew it up, with a victory at that point, because his numbers are just so overwhelming at this point. But man, what a game Monday night. Do we have any predictions? I like my Niners here, but 5.5-point spread. I mean, that's been 3 all year. A lot of respect for the Niners there with that spread against this Ravens team.
Yeah. Give me Ravens +5.5. But I think 49ers win straight up. I just think they're the best team in football. I think if this game, I like the Ravens offense, but I think if this game gets to like a shootout type situation, which I'm not sure it is, 46.5-point over under is fine, but I could see this game being a slugfest, in which case the Ravens could win it. But especially because that run defense for the 49ers, man, that makes me a little concerned. So I think it's close. Give me Ravens +5.5, but straight up winner, I'll take the Niners here.
All right, fair enough. I'll lay the points, but I'm a homer. But I think it should be a close one. I mean, I'm sorry. It should be a fun one either way, man. It's going to be exciting. The Niners are curious how Baltimore does if they fall behind on that passing offense. I'm really curious because, that was shaky against Jacksonville. I mean, I am curious how they're going to do if they fall behind here and try to have to throw in obvious situations against the Niners.
I'm with you, man. I have the same concerns. See what happens. Please don't let this be like a disappointing primetime game, okay? Because it's clearly the best game of the day. It's the best game of the entire slate. It has the potential to be game of the year. I just have this vision of like the 49ers winning 28-7 or something. And it's like, I get it. That'd be fun to watch. Blowout's going to be fun to watch. I get enjoyment out of watching blowouts, but I really want this to be like a back and forth competitive affair. Like, that's what I really want to see. I hope that's what we get. That brings us to the final thing we need to talk about here, Thursday night football. This game is important, let's put it that way. 46.5-point total. The Rams, it's Saints and Rams. Rams are 4-point home favorites per BetMGM. Our Rams stat, Dalton. The Rams have allowed a 15.1 deep throw rate this year. That's the second most in the NFL. Wonder if the Saints can take advantage of that. Just another stat too about the pass catchers. First read targets the last 2 weeks: Cooper Kupp, 15 first read targets; Puka Nacua, 12; DeMarcus Robinson, 12. Design targets, it's an even split between Kupp and Puka. Cooper Kupp, I think, is all the way back. But really, the matchup you want to exploit here, Dalton, if you're looking at the Saints defense, is this is a bad run defense, man. They have allowed 5.03 yards per carry since week 11, third most in the NFL.
Kyron Williams is just dominant. So this is a rarity, I guess, to ask New Orleans to travel this far on a Thursday night. I guess the league does not frequently do this, but it's a tougher setup for them here. Kyron Williams has just been so money in the bank, just consistently getting all the touches, even last week losing 2 fumbles and then going right back to him. In fact, he lost more work after his first lost fumble than his second one. So in a short week, I could see him once again just being completely relying on him for their offense here. And does Olave play? That's huge.
Sounds like he's gonna play.
We're trending in the right direction. The Rams are susceptible to their secondary to some bigger games by opposing fantasy wideouts. So it'd be a welcome sight to get Olave back.
Yeah, it would be again that deep pass rate that you think about. Terry McLaurin just stacking corners on the outside on that go route from Jacoby Brissett late in that game against the Rams. Rams defense has absolutely outkicked expectations. There's no question about that, but they can be burned deep, as the stat shows. I think that would be a good spot for Chris Olave there. Again, if Derek Carr can push it deep, not always the thing he's most looking forward to doing. And then again, yeah, I think Kyron Williams really stands out from the Saints side of things. I think this is going to be a big rushing day for Kyron Williams, who, man, they love that guy. Even despite the fumble last week, they just went right back to him. I mean, Arthur Smith could never. They went right back to him after that, the couple fumbles.
Stafford, 12-1 touchdown INT ratio over his last four games. He would have had a monster game last week if Brissett had started. Just the game script didn't call for more. But man, you'll never see anyone as open as Cup last week, and he does look healthier. Yeah, this is a dangerous team, man. I mean, they just went into Baltimore a couple weeks ago and nearly won in overtime. I'd love to see a Rams Lions first round matchup revenge game with Stafford, man. I'm looking forward to that. That's what I'd like to see. Well, selfishly, as a Niner fan, that's what I'm looking forward to, because the Rams upset that game and then you avoid the Eagles Cowboys side of the bracket. But that would be a fun one for any football fan to see Stafford versus the Lions round one.
Yeah. 49ers have had the Rams number, right? Like historic. Well, no, actually, it's been the other way around. The Rams.
Yeah, in case it yes, they were on a nice run until it mattered most in the championship game. Yes, they had beaten them like three or four times in a row until that game. Yes, and since then too. But yeah, when it matters most, Tart drops the interception midfield and they lose. But not bitter or anything, Harmon.
Sure. Fair enough. All right, before we get into Niners talk, any more Niners talk, I think that's going to do it for this pod. Big beefy pod today, but hey, it's an important week. Got good topics here. Dalton, appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate you, Harmon. Happy holidays to everyone, and good luck with your fantasy championship weeks.
Yeah, hell yeah. Happy holidays to you and yours, Dalton. Enjoy the 49ers game. I can't wait to watch it. Like I said, just please, competitive game. That's all I want. That's all I want for Christmas this year. I don't give a damn about anything else. I just want 49ers, Ravens to be competitive. 49ers can win for Dalton's sake out there, and for Brock Purdy to make Dalton a very rich man. But for now, that is going to do it for us. Lauren Carpenter of FTN joins the show tomorrow for the Viewer's Guide preview for Week 16. Until then, we're out.